So the human experience shows we need to celebrate, and the biblical evidence shows God desires his people to celebrate. My name is Kalen Eichenrod. I'm the student ministry pastor here at Trinity. And today I've been tasked with correcting all the mistakes that Pastor Peter, Steve, and Josh have made in their Roman sermons. No, I'm just kidding. Today we're going to take a break in our study of Romans to teach on celebration. But before we teach on celebration, we are going to experience it by celebrating our graduating high school seniors. This is a special group for me because this is the group that started with me 6 years ago when I started as a resident here at Trinity. And it's been exciting to watch these students follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and live on mission with Jesus. It's also been exciting to see the group grow in numbers to what it is now. So to celebrate them, we're going to watch a video. And then students, I'm going to have you stand in front of everyone. And then we're going to pray for you, okay? So we'll watch a video, and then we'll pray for the students. So you can go ahead and play the video. So if you're a graduating high school senior, would you please stand up? Can we have the lights in the out here as well? We got two back there. Let's give them a round of applause. I'm going to invite Isaac Moreland to come on down. He's going to pray for the seniors. If you're surrounding a senior right now, would you go ahead and stand up and just lay hands on them as we pray for them today? So,
Jesus, we're just so thankful for these children of yours that we have here today that are just moving into a new season of life. Just so amazed by your transformative power that is so evident and the way that they're living their lives. And we're so excited to see the ways that you're going to use them, not only to bless other people, to bring your gospel to all nations, but also just the way that they're going to grow closer and closer to you. We just pray a blessing over them, that you would just help them to continue to abide in you as they go on to whatever you're calling them to do. They would continue to have ears to hear and soften hearts for your will. so they can keep on laboring for your kingdom. And Lord, we just ask for so much joy in their lives as they continue to be with you in their future studies, their future work, wherever you're calling them to go, and that we get to just see a bit of that. We're so thankful that we get to have a little bit part in their lives. I pray this in your name, and your will be done. Amen.
Amen. Bring that, Josh. Amen. I love graduation season. Every weekend I get to go to these parties to celebrate students who are graduating, have conversations with the same people who are hopping from party to party. And basically for a few weekends in May, I've got supper covered or lunch with some really good food, right? Not only is it just a good time, it's an important tradition. It marks the end of a chapter for our high school students and their parents. And it's hard to imagine what life would be like without these celebrations. Oh yeah, I forgot, it's not hard at all. About 4 years ago, we as a society didn't have any graduation parties, wedding celebrations, birthday parties, in-person Easter services. As a student who graduated in 2020 and didn't have a party or ceremony or event, what that was like, and he said it left a bitter taste in his mouth because he didn't get to celebrate with all his friends. He didn't get to sear a moment into his mind to draw back on and see that life is different now. And he said that the joy and excitement of looking towards the future was replaced with fear and anxiety of what is to come. I was also affected by the shutdown in 2020. My wife, Emily, and I got engaged in December of 2019, and we set our wedding date for March 21, 2020. And the week of our wedding arrived, and we heard some thoughts of the shutdown possibly happening. And then on Sunday before, we were told we could only have 250 people at the event. Then a couple days later, 50. Eventually, we were told we could have 10, but I believe we had 14 people at the wedding, so we broke the rules. So we had a small, intimate wedding and just decided to get married on our wedding rehearsal date, Friday, March 20, 2020. The thought was, let's get married on our wedding rehearsal date. Let's not live stream it. Let's not have you wear the dress. I won't wear my tux. And then on our one-year anniversary, we'll have this big celebration where we'll bring in all our friends and family. But a week before the celebration, I thought it was a good idea to bring a couple students to a conference in Des Moines where there was 1,000 other people. And I got COVID, and we had to cancel the wedding reception. So Emily never got to wear her dress. I never got to wear my tux. We never had our formal first dance. But for both of us, the hardest part was not sharing a moment with all our friends and family and celebrating together. We also didn't get to represent for all our friends and family when Christ and his church will come together in eternity. Countless others were affected by no graduation parties, wedding receptions, birthday parties, in-person Easter services, etc. And through this, we can see the human experience and empirical evidence of 2020 proves we need parties, we need events, we need celebrations. So today, I want to teach on three aspects of celebration: the head, the heart, and the hands of celebration. Three aspects: the head, heart, and the hands of celebration. So first, we'll start with the head. And I want us to see that not only the human experience or the empirical evidence points to us needing celebration, but also the biblical evidence tells us God desires us to celebrate. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. When the son returns in the parable of the lost son, the father says, "And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Jesus miraculously creates the good wine for the wedding reception in John 2. And I think one of the biggest passages that just shows God's heart for celebration is Leviticus 23, where he lays out 7 festivals for his people Israel to partake in: the Sabbath day, Passover, first fruits, the festival of weeks, the festival of trumpets, the day of atonement, and the festival of tabernacles. And we can see based on these passages that to God, a festival or celebration is an organized or planned event that can happen weekly or annually, like the festivals. It could happen spontaneously, like celebrating the return of the Father's Son. Or it could be like a mile marker event, like a marriage celebration or a graduation party. And God wanted Israel to celebrate so badly, he told them, "Put these festivals first in your calendar and then schedule around them. That's how much he wanted them to celebrate these festivals, how much he wanted them to celebrate. So the human experience shows we need to celebrate, and the biblical evidence shows God desires his people to celebrate. And we can determine the reason why God desired his people to celebrate by looking at the details of a specific festival he commanded Israel to partake in. We could look at any of the festivals and see why, the reason why God wants us to celebrate. We're going to look at specifically the Passover and see why God wants us to celebrate. So the Passover celebrates the time when God, through Moses, delivered Israel out of slavery. The Egyptian Pharaoh let the people go after the angel of death killed every firstborn in Egypt, but passed over the Israelite homes that were covered with the lamb's blood on the doorposts. This was a message to the angel of death to pass over those houses and spare their firstborn children. This is what God told Israel to do concerning Passover. He said, "This day is to be a memorial for you, and you must celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. You are to celebrate it throughout your generations as a permanent statute." God calls Israel to make a memorial of the Passover by celebrating it. He calls them to remember what God has done through celebration, to remember that God saved them from Egypt, to remember that he passed over their firstborn children. So we can see from the details of this festival that one reason we should celebrate is to help us remember what God has done. When I think about memorializing a day in our culture, I think of Christmas. Going to a Christmas Eve candlelight service, singing Christmas carols around the piano. Maybe your family wakes up on Christmas morning to a warm fire, sipping hot chocolate in a turtleneck sweater, right? Logan Fong, the Oaks International director here at UNI, we really want turtleneck sweaters to just become the thing during Christmas. So love to have you wearing turtleneck sweaters. But all these things are to memorialize a day when Jesus and our Lord and Savior came as a baby, right? But it's not just these annual celebrations that can be memorialized. It could also be like a mile marker event as well, like a wedding or a graduation party. For a graduation party, that's a day for you and your parents to memorialize, to sear into your brain the closing of a chapter and the beginning of a new one, the beginning of new responsibilities and decisions to make. So what do? You invite all your friends, cousins, uncles, neighbors, teachers, everyone you can think of, you invite so that you can get the most money. No, I'm just kidding. You invite them to celebrate you, right? You're graduating. It's to help you, to help sear a moment into your mind that you can recall and see that life is different now. I have new responsibilities that have been entrusted to me. So why do we need celebration? We need celebrations to help us remember, either to remember what God has done or to remember the new responsibilities that he has entrusted to us. Another reason we need celebration is to give us a representation of what is to come, to give us a reminder of what is to come. Colossians 2, 16 through 17 says, "In respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." When we look at the festivals in the Old Testament, there's all this foreshadowing of what is to come in Christ. And once again, the Passover is a perfect example of this. Specifically, when the lamb is slaughtered and the blood is put over the doorpost and the angel of death passes over those households, it's a representation of what Jesus did when he died for us on the cross, bearing our sins, and how God passes over our sins. So the purpose of Passover was not only to remember what God has done for us, but also give a representation of what is to come in Jesus. And so the parties and celebrations we have today, they can be a representation, a reminder of what is to come in the new heavens and the new earth. I think of Easter and how we remember what Jesus has done on the cross for our sins and how he rose from the dead, thus defeating death. Easter is here to help us remember what Jesus has done, but it's also a good representation of what our resurrected bodies will be like. Jesus' resurrected body is what our resurrected bodies will be. And And it's just a good representation of what is to come. And by the way, Jesus was able to walk through walls with his resurrected body. So I wonder if we're able to walk through walls. I think that would be awesome. Or I think about a marriage celebration and how it symbolizes and represents what it will be like when the bride, the church, will come together with Jesus, our groom. So why do we need celebrations? Well, we need them to help us remember what God has done, remember our new responsibilities, and to help us remind us of what it will be. But when we think about that time during COVID, that shutdown period, I know there was more to our hardship during that time than just missing events and celebrations. But specifically, was our hardship from missing these celebrations, parties, events, just because we drowned out stories of what God and Jesus have done for us with remembering Zoom meetings or buying toilet paper on our next run to the grocery store? Or was our problem with the COVID that instead of reading Revelation and in our downtime and reminding us of what will be, we watched The Tiger King or The Last Dance? To which I say, yes, that was the problem. But it's not the whole problem. See, God doesn't want us to just have a purely intellectual exercise. Think of how silly Easter would be if all we did was read the Easter story in a monotone voice and say, yep, check mark, we did that, we remembered. We remembered what you did for us, Jesus. Or maybe we remember or read about the resurrection of Jesus, and it reminds us of our resurrected body, and we're like, yep, got it, that's going to happen someday. We would be missing so much of what Easter is about, because remembering and reminding is only part of what is needed at these celebrations, right? In Mark 12:30, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't want to diminish loving God with our mind. That's so important. Reminding ourselves and remembering what God has done is so important, but it can't be left alone. It has to be connected to the heart. It has to be connected to the soul and the strength. So the problem was that our minds didn't have those memorialized events to help remember what God has done. And the problem was we didn't get to the heart of remembering, mainly the confidence in God that comes from remembering all that he's done. The heart of celebration is not just running through stories of how God has delivered us or how God has changed us. It's about running through those stories in your mind and having an unshakable confidence in God for what is to come. This is why we have huge celebrations for our baptisms. It's to sear into their brains, those being baptized, into their brains that God has changed them and that the church is with you. When we cheer loudly like we do here at Trinity and like we get to, I'm not sure if it's the service or the next one, but we're giving a baptism today, which is awesome. When we cheer loudly, we get to sear a moment in their time that maybe if someone goes off and they're struggling, they can recall that moment and remember that God changed them then. And he can change you now, right? Or maybe he can remember, or they can remember that God surrounded me with so many encouraging and loving people. He surrounded me with the church. He's surrounding me with the church now. So baptisms can be an important moment for people who get baptized to help them recall and remember and have the unshakable confidence in what God is doing. Also think about graduates. Maybe you dread sitting at your graduation parties and answering the same question over and over and over again about what you're doing next year. But I encourage you, when you're writing thank you notes, think of all the people who came to your graduation party. Think of how God surrounded you with so many loving and encouraging people. And I want you to find the confidence and contentment towards the future that you're not only going to be fine, but if you're surrounded by the church and by God, you're going to set this world on fire. It's going to be incredible. So, the heart of celebration is having that unshakable confidence in God towards what is to come. Also, the problem during COVID was we didn't have those events that foreshadow and represent what is to come. And the problem was we didn't get to have the heart of that foreshadowing, mainly a taste or experience of what life will be like when we're face to face with Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth. So celebrations are not just about being reminded through lyrics or connecting with others or conversations with others like that show us like, yeah, oh, that's what life will be like in heaven. No, they're meant to give us a taste of what it is to be like, an experience of what heaven will be like someday. It's hard to think of what heaven will be like. There's no struggle to overcome, no relational strife to repair, there's no end in sight. And so sometimes people describe some blissful experience about heaven that is nice for a time, but throughout eternity would eventually seem boring. But when I think about that, I think about a time in college. I was taking a philosophy class, and my professor asked this question to the class. He said, if there was a box, and inside this box was the most pleasurable experience of your life, most pleasure and joy you could ever feel would be in this box if you entered it, would you enter it? Would you go in? To which I adamantly said no, you know, and I wrote a paper on it about how all that's in that box is sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and, you know, I'm a Christian. We don't do that. We don't do that. So I said absolutely no, and that paper was terrible, by the way. I wouldn't want to read that. But that question really kept eating at me. I kept thinking, what is that most pleasure and joy that I've ever felt? And I kept on remembering these celebrations that I was a part of when I was singing to Jesus with my friends next to me, and we were singing so loudly, and I was like so full of joy. Or I was thinking about the time when I accepted Jesus into my heart and I got to celebrate with all of my friends. Those were the most pleasurable, joy-filled experiences of my life, and it hit me. Jesus is in that box. And so absolutely, I'm going to walk into that box. I'm going to go in there. And it wasn't until afterwards that I ran into this Bible verse, Psalm 16:11, in God's presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand is pleasures forevermore. So celebrations can give us a taste to come of what is to come. They can give us a taste of what is to heaven, and they can show that heaven's not going to be boring. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be amazing to be face-to-face with Jesus. We'll be so filled with joy and pleasure that we can't even begin to describe it here. That's how powerful celebrations can be. So we've learned the head of worship is remembering and reminding, or the head of celebration is remembering and reminding. The heart of celebration is a confidence and a taste of heaven. And finally, we have the hands of celebration. And I want to answer this question, how should we celebrate? And most of these ideas of celebrating come from a book called The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. It's a classic book, helped me learn a lot about spiritual disciplines. And the last four chapters are on corporate disciplines, like what should we do as a church? And the last chapter is on celebration. And these are three ways to help us celebrate from that book. So first, we should celebrate with noise. Coming back to the Passover, after Israel was saved from Pharaoh, Exodus 15:20 says, then Miriam, the prophet Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. So of course, there's a time to be loud, and there's a time to be silent. And in celebration, it's good to have some noise, right? I think of Sunday mornings here at Trinity, which I want to remind you, God calls the Sabbath a festival or a celebration. And so these Sunday morning services are a celebration. They can be more than a celebration, but they are a celebration. And I think about the time when we're singing. And I love to sit in front of Mike and Liz Runge. Liz was the one singing here. I love to sit in front of them because they sing so loudly. It's incredible. And it encourages me to sing as loud as I can and draws me closer and closer to that taste of heaven. And I encourage you to sing loudly. And if you're ever like self-conscious about singing loudly, I encourage you to watch videos about deaf people singing. Deaf people love to worship. And, you know, doesn't always sound the best, but it is the most beautiful worship I've ever seen. They do not care what they sound like. And they just want to bring praise and honor and glory to Jesus. And so let's be like them and just sing as loud as we can, not be self-conscious. Let's have a roar in here when we're worshiping. Secondly, we should celebrate with laughter. In Ecclesiastes, we read this verse a couple times. We're told certain things are appropriate at certain times. There's a time to plant, time to reap, time to build, a time to tear down. There's a time to dance, time to sing, a time to laugh, a time to cry. And since God, in his seasons, appointed appropriate times to laughter, and Jesus always did what was appropriate, I bet Jesus laughed a lot. I bet Jesus was laughing. I bet we can follow in his footsteps and laugh a lot. So celebrations often bring like stress and anxiety to people. Usually the ones who are putting on the celebration can feel the burden of making it amazing, or maybe they just want it to run smoothly, or maybe if you're going to a celebration, you could feel anxiety of just talking to someone or being in a social environment. But I just want to read what Richard Foster has to say about laughter. He says, "Learn to laugh. It is a discipline to be mastered. Let go of the everlasting burden of always needing to sound profound." And I would add, not just letting go of sounding profound, but also it helps us to let go of an event running smoothly, or the pressure we can put on ourselves to have like this amazing celebration, or to like perfectly connect with everyone. We need laughter at events. I think of a few people in my life that I kind of envy who have this like natural ability to make people feel at ease and bring laughter wherever they go. I always want them at my celebrations to help others laugh and let down their walls and just have a good time. So we need to laugh. Thirdly, that's right. Thirdly, we can celebrate with the creativity of others. This could be a movie, this could be a play, this could be going to, you know, a restaurant and just experiencing the creativity of food, right? But I encourage you, if you're going to celebrate with the creativity of others, maybe fast from those things for a couple days. We're surrounded by entertainment so much that if we just like continued to watch a movie and then we wanted to celebrate with a movie, like it just wouldn't feel awesome. But if we like didn't watch a movie for 3 days, didn't watch any television for a week, and then we watched a movie, that would be amazing. It would be really awesome. Just an awesome experience to have with our friends to celebrate them. This is why I love living in Iowa. Every vacation you go on in Iowa is amazing. Or and not in Iowa, but if you're from Iowa, every vacation you go on is amazing because it's so bland here, right? Everywhere you go is just incredible. I love Iowa, by the way, but vacations are awesome. Finally, I want to encourage us to be the best at celebration, because we have the most to celebrate, right? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has taken our sins, placed them on the cross, and now we can be in relationship with God, our Father. We are now his children, we are now heirs with Christ, and that is worth celebrating every single day. So let's be the best at celebration, because we have the most to celebrate. We have Jesus as our King and as our Savior. So would you pray with me? God, I pray that we would be the best at celebrating. God, thank you so much that we get to celebrate so much this weekend. Dee Dee, graduating seniors to baptism, our veterans, Lord. God, help us to be the best at celebration and help the world to see that the church is the best at celebration and that they would want to be a part of this because it's so amazing, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.